And just a word about the context for today's service. If you've had time to look at the cover, today our focus is life, lessons for life learned at camp. And so we're going to have the services focused around that. And we have a special moment of sharing by Jonathan Russell and Cindy Bates to share about what Silver Lake has meant to their family. Come on forward. And as they come forward, there's going to be a table in Schultz Hall during fellowship time with an Apple TV doing a regular stream of some of the excitement that happens at Silver Lake, our conference center in Sharon, Connecticut. So do come to coffee hour and learn more about this.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Silver Lake is a magical and blessed place. It has cabins and swimming and crafts, games, high ropes, campfires, and of course, bug juice. Our family's Silver Lake story started in 2004 when our daughter Emma, who's now 26, was in fourth grade and went to her first Silver Lake conference. It was her first week-long overnight camp, and she was nervous, but she loved it. She loved the place, she loved the young counselors, she loved the creativity, and she made friends. Emma never looked back. Every summer she studied the brochure, picked a conference that spoke to her, and spent a week at Silver Lake. In high school, she was a counselor. In college, she worked a summer at Silver Lake as the arts and crafts director, and she developed and she was the co-dean of a conference called 40 Days in the Wilderness, which involves survival cooking and camping in the woods around Silver Lake. Sam, who is 2 years younger than Emma, warmed up to Silver Lake a little more slowly. In fourth grade, when he was old enough to go, he resisted. Like Emma, Sam was a three-season Glastonbury-type athlete. He loved sports and sports camps. Silver Lake, he said, was for serious, quiet kids like his sister. There wouldn't be kids like him there. It would be boring, and he would definitely not like it. We convinced him in the summer before seventh grade to try Silver Lake with a conference that involved several days of cycling around Eastern Connecticut, or Western Connecticut. He still talks about that conference, and he also never looked back. "Why," he said, "Mom, didn't you force me to go sooner?" Sam also spent a week at Silver Lake every summer from that year on, and he was a counselor several times in high school.
Our kids with two working parents went to lots of camps every summer, all year, all summer long. They grew up in this church and had wonderful formative experiences in Sunday school, in fellowship, on mission trips. I mean, this church, this town, it has it all, right? So why Silver Lake? Every week, all summer, kids of all shapes and sizes and colors and backgrounds come together in an old-fashioned camp setting with an enthusiastic, endlessly cool and caring staff in week-long conferences. Silver Lake's gift is the ability to repeatedly create intentional community, a space where there is acceptance, room for everyone to be who they are, to laugh and play, take risks, be silly or serious, loud or quiet, care for others, and explore faith in a safe setting. It's a space that isn't about winning, but it puts a winning smile on every child's face. This summer, with great power, campers will find their own superpower. Clarence and the Godzooks will do puppetry. Rock of Ages will learn about community and faith through rock music, folk music, punk, whatever, all kinds of music. In River of Dreams, campers will find their power as leaders in the fight for justice. Those weeks at Silver Lake gave Emma and Sam many, many fun times, but also enriched their lives and their thinking and their approach to life in so many ways. We made the beautiful drive to Sharon for 10 years until they drove themselves. And our Silver Lake story didn't end then, as I'm now on the board of directors and I continue to be amazed at this wonderful place. So at coffee time, pick up a brochure, look online at the Silver Lake website, send your kids or grandkids to Silver Lake this summer. You and they will love it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So this Thursday afternoon, when the bulletin was all done for today's service and had perhaps done as much in the office as I could, I went out for some visits. So I visited a nursing home. And at the nursing home is a member of this church about my age who perhaps might spend a number of years now in a nursing home, has had some health struggles. She couldn't have been more delightfully upbeat. So we spent about 50 minutes reminiscing about old Glastonbury, skating down by the river, the old trolley car that, I don't know when that stopped, but we were thinking about that when there were farms here. But then I started to tell her about this service and how Kate and I had been planning it for a number of months, talking about camp experiences. I didn't know if she'd had one, but I said, you know, we know not everyone has had camp experiences. Her face just lit up. She said, I went to Camp Iapo, a YMCA camp in Summers, Connecticut. And we just began to share stories. I shared stories about my camp experience. You'll be hearing some of them. But she just was so thankful to be sharing her memories at Camp Iapo. It was started in 1927, only closed down in 2008. And we Googled my phone, and there were articles in the Current about the closure of this camp and the lifelong memories that it held for decades for girls that went to this YWCA camp. She remembered her horse. Her horse's name was Heidi. And she remembered the beauty of that place. She remembered the friendship she formed and the profound experience that that camp had on her, being in God's creation there in Camp Iapo.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He established them forever and ever. He fixed their bounds which cannot be passed. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps. Fire and hail, snow and frost, stormy wind fulfilling his command. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and women alike, old and young together. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for his people, praise for all his faithful, for the people of Israel who are close to him. Praise the Lord. And selections from Galatians 5. But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance for life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Since this is the kind of life we have chosen, the life of the Spirit, let us make sure that we do not just hold it as an idea in our heads or a sentiment in our hearts, but work out its implications in every detail of our lives. That means we will not compare ourselves with each other as if one of us were better and another worse. We have far more interesting things to do with our lives. Each of us is an original. May God bless our understanding of this reading.
Thanks be to God.
Praising God, like the psalmist, praising God for mountains and lakes and the heavens, and then learning how to live in God's way, as we heard in Galatians. Timeless, important values like affection, kindness, enthusiasm for life, commitment to God, commitment to one another. Where does one get to learn all these things? Perhaps many places, But obviously, as Kate and I were thinking many months ago about sharing our stories about camps and our lives, camp, summer camp, can be an amazing place for young people, children especially, to learn about the glory of God's creation, but also to gain a sense of confidence and belief in themselves. In 1922, in Maine, on beautiful Damariscotta Lake, Wavis Camps was founded. In the 1920s, my mother went there as a young girl. 40 years later, my siblings and I went to Wavis Camps in Damariscotta. And it's a place that still is in my heart, as you will soon hear. Wavis Camps was a place where we could grow in confidence as we learned a whole variety of skills, Some helpful today, others not so much, but that's where I learned about archery. That's where I learned to shoot a 22, and I was a pretty good shot. I learned how to canoe and sail, tie knots, build a fire, identify trees and ferns in the woods, play capture the flag. Many wonderful learnings there at Wavis Camps. Now, I think they went as young as 6. Maybe it wouldn't happen today, because it was an 8-week camp. And many of you have heard the story, because I've told this before. I would go away for 8 weeks. I think I began going at age 7. I talked to my brother this week. He began going at age 6. I was 7 or 8, sent away for 8 weeks. And as some of you heard me say, was I that bad of a kid that my parents wanted to send me away for 8 weeks? But I, to this day, can't imagine a better way to spend 8 weeks as an energetic young boy. And it was a place where we learned some life lessons. Things like teamwork. We had cabin inspection every morning. Clean up, make our beds. That's where I learned how to make a hospital bed. There were awards each week for your behavior. You'd get social points. Sometimes you got them, sometimes you didn't. There were medals that you would achieve for learning certain skills. Some of the skills I told about, you'd get some medals during the course of the summer. And of course, you learned how to rely on one another, especially on the Allegash canoe trips down the white waters of the Allegash River in the wilderness. There's a picture on your bulletin, upper right-hand corner, of the canoes, the Old Town canoes being loaded on the truck. You'd be taken up to Moosehead Lake. Boy, it's coming back to me. But you'd learn about reliance on your fellow campers to go on a 2-week wilderness canoe trip. So many learnings about life that can't be overstated what they have meant even to this day for me. And now I'm going to share just one lesson that seems maybe sort of strange, but this was a lifelong lesson that I learned at summer camp. You see, Wavis Camp was owned by a couple. He was the head football coach at the University of Maine, later became the athletic director. He was Uncle Westy. You know, you may have an image of football coaches and players, but Uncle Westy was a teddy bear, tough guy. He was so kind, so thoughtful, so inspiring. What a smile. But one thing he taught us all the campers, when you give someone a handshake, you look them in the eye and you give them a firm handshake. And by doing that, you are having confidence in yourself, but you also are showing respect for that person. That's where I learned how to give a handshake. So for me, Wavis Camp was a place where I learned what it meant to be a true child of God and to love oneself and to love others.
My grandpa, Harold Haar, who's also pictured on the front cover of your bulletin, the man in overalls. Yes, he liked to wear overalls. He was a gregarious and feisty, dedicated, and faithful man. You see, my grandma and my grandpa were very active in their Lutheran church on Long Island. My mom explains that they were her youth group leaders, and her seven siblings, youth group leaders, and they would take retreats up to Mount Tremper Camp in the Catskill Mountains. My grandparents fell in love with Mount Tremper. They also knew, besides doing retreats, they had summer camp for New York City kids who maybe weren't accustomed to swimming in lakes or riding a horse. But Grandma and Grandpa found out that it wasn't doing so well. The summer camp was not thriving. So together they made a decision. In 1971, my grandfather, a school teacher, took out a mortgage and bought Mount Tremper Camp from Lutheran Social Services of Metropolitan New York. Because my grandpa was convinced that every child is a child of God and that all deserve to play in God's magnificent creation. So they bought the camp and revitalized it. This was an amazing camp, over 300 acres and forests and streams. The main building where they ate meals and people gathered was built in the 1920s as a Catholic monastery. And so here they were at camp. My grandfather did such a magnificent job running the camp that Lutheran Social Services asked him in 1977 to take over a camp just over the New York border in Paterson, New York. So it was an answer to prayers, with their constituency being New York City kids. It was much closer. And so my grandfather moved to Camp Herlick, and it's been a family affair ever since. Because my grandfather, rooted in faith, supported by my grandmother, believed that every child should swim in a lake, should sit by a campfire and sing songs about God, should eat marshmallows, should ride horses, all those amazing things that camp provides. So for over 45 years, this camp has been running. And it's much thanks to my family, my grandpa. For 9 years, my family lived there. My mom ran the arts and crafts cabin. My dad was, I hear, the best cook around. And when my grandpa bought the camp in 1971, he had to form a nonprofit. He had to start a board of directors, which my dad was one of the founding members. It's been a family affair. My sisters, my brothers, we lived at camp in God's backyard. And one of the amazing things about our camp is that we have international counselors. And so people that I wouldn't have normally gotten to know and love became a part of my childhood. Otto from Switzerland and Joaquin and Diana. All of these people, Pastor Mac, all of these people became a story of camp story and a part of our lives. Because at camp, relationships are formed, community is built, nature inspires us, confidence nurtured, life lessons time and time again.
And the vision that Grandpa Har had for that camp was the vision that some congregational ministers and lay people had back in 1957. For over 60 years, the Silver Lake Conference Center, because of that vision, that there could be a place where young and old could come, different ages, different races, learn to live together, build relationships, gain confidence in oneself, and enjoy the beauty of God's creation. Now, I was not fortunate enough to grow up in Connecticut. I grew up in Worcester, Mass. So the conference camp that I went to for my church in Worcester was either Deering up in New Hampshire, but also Craigville Conference Center on the Cape. That's where we went. But then when I became a young minister here in Connecticut, I got to be a co-dean. You heard that word before. A dean is someone who is sort of in charge of that week conference. And so I became, when I was a pastor in churches here in Connecticut for a number of years, I was actually a co-dean with Peter Wells. He and I co-deaned a conference each year for 47th and 8th graders. See some nodding heads. Now, who in their right mind, would be a dean or co-dean of 40 7th and 8th graders? Well, a clown would. So on the front of your bulletin, there is a picture in the lower right-hand corner of two clowns. We were sort of hesitant to print this, weren't we?
They're a little scary. We took a vote in the office, and we thought they're kind of scary clowns, but we let them do it anyway.
So which one is me? On the left, the one with the suspenders. Yes, we had a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun. We clowned around. You had to have fun. But we had an important message that we felt was important. If you think about it, an important message that any of us need at any age. But maybe that age, insecure, uncertain adolescents, maybe a message they needed was how they were truly children of God. So to this day, I remember the technique we used, one of the exercises we used. And you can do this at home. It's safe to do this at home. I sort of challenge you all to do this at home. Take a piece of paper and then draw on it. This is meant, I think, what we meant to be. If you cut it out, you could wear it around you. It's ILAC. The letters spell ILAC. I am lovable and capable. I am lovable and capable. So write on that side at home, what makes you lovable and capable? So maybe take a few minutes to do that today. What makes you lovable and capable? And on the other side, we also asked them to draw. I drew this morning. That's a viper, can't you tell? And that's one thing about this exercise. We'll all say that we can't draw unless you're an artist, like Julie or someone else. But and then the picture down here is a vulture. So we had these young people do a viper and a vulture. A viper is when you put someone else down. And you don't want to be doing that in a community in the body of Christ. A vulture is when you put yourself down. We should be lifting ourselves up because we truly are made in God's image. Friends, these summer experiences can truly tell us that we are lovable and capable and that we are children of God.
And my grandpa believed that through and through. And so he was notorious for actually accepting more campers than there were beds. So my mom tells a story of him calling around to other area camps asking for mattresses because grandpa, with open arms and a huge hug, welcomed any child to camp, any child. And so one summer, his math skills perhaps were a bit off and he didn't have enough counselors to go around. That's not a good problem, as you can imagine. You need counselors for all your kids. And so it happened to be the youngest boy's cabin, which my brother, who was 5 years older than me, was part of. It was the first time he was going to Camp Herlick for the two-week session to sleep over. And there was no boy counselor for his cabin. But as the buses streamed into camp and people got off, up to the registration table came a strapping young man who said, "My grandmother sent me. She thought maybe you could use me." My grandfather was convinced it was his prayers answered that Jerome Banks showed up unannounced because his grandmother thought maybe he could be used. Guess who became the counselor for that 7-year-old boy cabin? You got it, Jerome Banks. He hadn't been to orientation. He hadn't filled out an application. He had no background check. All he had was the word of his grandma saying, "Maybe I can be helpful." So my mom tells how for 2 days she kind of skulked around and followed Jerome and the boys because here was her baby, trusted to this guy that nobody had ever met or seen. But Grandpa, he trusted, never thought a second thought about it. Jerome was meant to be at camp taking care of those boys. And that's what he did. He was the best counselor. He loved those boys to pieces. And he didn't really know much about camp because he had just shown up, so they stuck together like glue. If you look at your bulletin cover, the top left picture is of Jerome, the tall one, with a gaggle of 7-year-old boys. At the end of the week, they always vote on counselor of the week, and guess who got it? Jerome. His eyes never left those boys. He took good care of them, and he was welcomed with open arms. Camp is where relationships are built, community is nurtured, creation inspires, and confidence is built. Time and time again, lessons are learned.
And so, friends, to conclude, whether or not you've been to a summer camp, it's something that we, Kate and I, had the gift to appreciate and enjoy summer camp. But these lessons are lessons that we can that can touch our lives even today as a community of faith.
These life lessons and faith lessons where we are challenged to love creation, love one another, and love ourselves.
Our faith truly calls us to build a community like we've done here at First Church, to be a team, to build the body of Christ, because then we can share God's love with one another and with the world.
So these are lessons that we could just tuck away and reminisce about and take out old pictures of our summer camp experiences. But truly they are faith lessons, ones that we need to live day in and day out, and not just reminisce about, and not just tell each other stories, but to build those communities, to build those relationships, to love nature and one another. Camp lessons, life lessons, learned and lived. Amen.